Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
Kodosawaki Roshi was born in 1880 and died in 1965. He's considered to be one of the most prominent or significant priests of his time for bringing Zen Buddhism to the lay community. He was kind of known as the wandering monk. There's a book that Koshin and I have read. It's actually a wonderful book if anyone is interested. It's Homeless Kodo. What's the beginning of the book? The stories maybe of Homeless Kodo. Although he was never actually homeless, he went from temple to temple and kind of pilgrimaging for his whole life. So it's a wonderful book with little teaching stories or his comments on the Dharma, and then Shohaku Okamura and Uchiyami Roshi kind of expound on his teachings. So I highly recommend it. One of his little snippets that I read today, he says, "We human beings always have some calcified ideas. To believe some kind of ism means we are addicted to particular ideas. Because of such fixed views, we cannot see Buddha Dharma, even though it's very close to us. All thoughts are based on calcified views. Buddha Dharma is prior to such views being formed." So, if you think about it, what he's saying, in the way I understand it, is when we speak of Buddhist texts and sutras, we're just merely repeating the thoughts, expressions and the stories of others throughout history. I mean, the sutras weren't even written until about 500 years after the death of Shakyamuni Buddha. So imagine all the different versions of the stories. Remember, all the sutras begin with Ananda, "Thus I have heard." Really? We did a little exercise a couple of weeks ago at the Aki Center. Koshin, we played that game of telephone, you know, where one person tells the first person something, and then it goes around the room, you know, you whisper it into someone's ear, and by the time it gets to the last person, it's almost completely different, or some of the most pertinent information has been lost along the way. So, you know, can we really take everything that we read and hear to be the truth? If we get stuck in fundamentalism, this is the way that it is. I mean, do we really believe that Bodhidharma sailed from India to China on a leaf? Across the ocean on a little leap? Of course not. Well, hopefully, of course not. But what's important for me to think about in that story is his determination to carry the Dharma from India to China, however he got there, whether it was on a leaf or a boat. And did the aspiring student really cut off his arm to show his determination, his willingness to study the Dharma? Probably not. Is there such a thing as Indra's net, covering the entire universe? And at each cross section of the net is a little jewel. Probably not. I don't believe there to be Indra's net, but I do believe in interconnectedness, which is what that story and that myth is about. It's about the interconnectedness of all beings. Each jewel reflects in the other jewel, and the one next to it, and the one next to it. So when we see Buddha Dharma, or the teachings, as something that is constantly shifting, arising, changing shape, oftentimes, moment by moment, we can allow for new possibilities. Koshin, I think, mentioned last week, our teacher always says something like, this practice is just about showing up for whatever the Dharma brings. Whatever shows up is a teacher, if we can show up for it. And sometimes we don't like it. So some days life is great. We're in love with the Dharma. It's all perfect. And the next day, it sucks. This is not the Dharma I signed up for. I signed up for enlightenment and good times. I didn't sign up for this shit. And that too is the teaching. That too is Buddha Dharma. When we can just be with what's arising before the thoughts come in, before our preferences arise. Don't want that, I want that one, I don't want that one, I want that one. What's true, parenthesis, for me today may not be true tomorrow. Can I allow for the truth to look differently tomorrow? Or will I cling to my picture of the world as I see it, leaving no room for a different outcome? My fundamentalism, my idealism, my I am right-ism. And when the different truth or the different story occurs, can I flow with it? Can I flow with what is arising in the Dharma? Or do I have to stick to my guns? No? I don't care. I mean, I have been guilty of actually seeing, yeah, that's probably a better idea, but still said, nope, we're doing it this way. Because it's my way. And that's the only reason we need to do it. Because it's, I thought of it, and that's it. That's how we're doing it. I get stuck in my fundamentalism. Different to living with my alcoholism. Allowing that to be just a part of who I am. Not fighting the reality of my addiction. It's very interesting when I think about the isms that I prefer, the ones that I can work with, the ones that I see very clearly, and the ones that I don't want to see clearly. When I think about this idea of calcification of ideas, I know my struggle today, the idea I'm calcified with is that I'll never get this book finished and nobody will ever read it anyway, so what's the point? And I've been really living with that calcified idea for a long time. Hence, I'm still on chapter 3. So what's it going to take for me to get out of that stuckism? I don't know. What is it that you're stuck with? Your calcified idea. What do you cling to? Not so much as being right or wrong, but cling to as this is the way it is for me. Or this is the way that it is for the world. And I love this word calcified. It's so solid. No fluidity there, just this is it. So think about where you are calcified. I found a really wonderful poem in my walking around like this today. Like that little monkey, not knowing which direction to go in. But kind of like, something about that monkey actually, he always has this grin on his face, right? Like, it'll all be okay. Clap, 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 clap. So that's kind of where I was when I was thinking about this talk and trying to find a poem. And you know, as it always happens, the book you pick up and the page that opens, seems just perfect. So this is a poem by Nick Flynn. It's called 47 Minutes. I ask a high school class to locate an image in a poem we've just read. Their heads at this moment are bowed to the page. After some back and forth about the rain and the styrofoam cup, a girl raises her hand and asks, "Does it matter?" I smile. It's as if the universe was balanced on those three words. And we've landed in the unanswerable, and I have to admit that, no, it doesn't not really matter. If rain is an image, or rain is an idea, or rain is a sound in our heads, I'm going to start again, because I really want to get this right. I ask a high school class to locate an image in a poem we've just read. Their heads at this moment are bowed to the page. After some back and forth about the rain and the styrofoam cup, a girl raises her hand and asks, "Does it matter?" I smile. It's as if the universe was balanced on those three words and we've landed in the unanswerable. And I have to admit that no, it does not really matter if rain is an image or rain is an idea or rain is a sound in our heads. But to get through the next 47 minutes, we might have to pretend that it does. No, it doesn't really matter. But to get through the rest of my life, perhaps I have to pretend that it does. Maybe pretend that sometimes I have to pretend that the Dharma will protect me, that the Dharma will provide. In those moments when I'm doubting, those moments of great doubt, I might just have to pretend that it will, that it does. So when I'm stuck in my calcified ideas, maybe I could turn it around and pretend, you know what, they don't really matter. Just for the next 47 minutes, maybe they do. And then it can change. Or not. Doesn't really matter. Someone said it. Who is it that says, just do it? Just do it.
New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is currently offering our Commit to Sit program, a 90-day self-commitment to sit and practice every day. This program is generously sponsored by Gayam. See zencare.org for details.